the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy, Doomsday 519, and it is episode 209 of this year's podcast. And of course, my tag team partner for the evening is your boy, hailing from the West Side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay!
Oh, yeah. Some very interesting stuff happened in wrestling this past weekend, and some interesting stuff this weekend with the pay-per-view. First pay-per-view that will be the co-branded ones for now on, I guess. Yeah, that dumb shit. So
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. They always make these type of changes. I don't know. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and start off with some of the shows for the weekend besides the WWE shit. So I'm going to take it to West Side to handle all that shit.
All right. First off, just a reminder: we have the two Dontaku shows. Technically tonight, so you'll miss that one already. But that will be the one that's headlined by Cody versus Kota Ibushi and Hangman Page in his first New Japan main event, big main event against Kenny Omega. Nice. And we'll also have the more Bullet Club versus Bullet Club as Team Tongan Bullet Club, the Trios champion, defends against members of the Elite, the Young Bucks, and Marty Scurll. So we'll probably talk about that next weekend. But the big show on Friday is going to be headlined by Ospreay and Kushida, who, I don't know if you saw the picture from their press conference. You see the picture from the press conference?
Oh, with the matching suits?
Yeah, the only difference was the jacket and the fact Ospreay wore a bow tie. Ospreay looked amused as fuck. That was great. I like the Ospreay Kushida matches. I know people like Ospreay versus Ricochet better, or maybe Ospreay versus Skrull. And Ospreay versus Skrull, that last match is one of my favorite matches.
Did you see that the new move that Ospreay did?
Fucking
Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker.
Shit. Yeah, that shit was fucking crazy.
Yes, it, for those who didn't see it, is a double underhook Canadian rack into a basically just a spinning neck breaker.
Yeah, that shit is fucking insane. Like you have to have some really great body control for that shit.
Yeah, and you know, he's a guy who does. So, yeah, and Kushida to me is the perfect opponent for him more than anybody else because he's extremely technical, like Marty Scurll, but he's not prone to those times where Scurll can just sometimes let his character work overdo it in a match, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Kushida's character is very precision-based. I mean, I like it when Kushida gets angry and mean, but I like that about him. He's a great base character for Ospreay. That's why I like their feud quite a bit. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that match. And the other match headlining that, it will be match number 10 in the long-standing Okada versus Tanahashi feud.
Is it really 10 now? Jesus.
Technically, it's 11. Ugh. But we don't count the Young Lions match where Tanahashi beat him when he was a Young Lion. But I believe it is, because it's 3 victories for Okada, 3 for Tanahashi. No, actually, it might be 4 for Okada. Because they have 2 ties. I don't know who's tied for what. Yeah. They're either tied for singled victories or Okada has one more victory over Tanahashi. They have 2 draws. That much I know. They're both from G1 Climax matches. So, yeah. So they're saying this is their 10th match. So I would fucking love Tanahashi to win the belt, man. Honestly, I want Tanahashi. I don't think he's going to do it, but if Tanahashi loses here, and especially because this is the 11th defense, because Okada's tied Tanahashi's single defense record for a single title reign, who does fucking Okada have? I know because he has to go to Dominion next.
Right.
Dominion's the next big show. Who? I mean, I guess unless they do Omega Okada 4, that's the only other logical thing. I mean, they don't have anyone else hyped up enough unless they build somebody on this show to face Okada. So unless Tanahashi wins and then gets one or two title defenses before Wrestle Kingdom, what the fuck? Okada will have it until the next year. There's also a rumor going around about what's going down with Naito, because we'll segue. Naito won the IC title.
Huh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was an okay match. It was my favorite match so far of this whole tour has been Goto versus Juice. Did you get a chance to see that match?
No, I didn't.
That match was fucking amazing. I mean, it blows away their one previous match for the Openweight title last year. This was great. I mean, and Juice hit, like, moves I never seen him hit. He hit, like, one of the sickest-looking straight vertical brainbusters I ever saw. And the match went another, like, 8-9 minutes. It was my favorite match ever. But, yeah, so Naito won the title from Suzuki. There's possibility that they're going to continue feuding. Though, there's a rumor going around that Jericho will show up at Dontaku. So, who knows?
Jericho. And that dude's everywhere.
The highest paid freelancer in the business.
Of course.
You know, he don't even wrestle in the States anymore. He got to wrestle overseas for big money.
Yeah, that's right. Like Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Like Saudi Arabia. But yeah, so check those out. I just wanted to remind people of that. Now on to some other shows we have. We have Powerbomb TV's only got one show really listed for Friday. It's from Old Wrestling. It's called Speakeasy Spectacular. Old Wrestling was the they had a bunch of guys pretending who had different like old style characters. I don't know if Jervis Cottonbelly will be on the show, but Jervis, and then there was Chuck Taylor and Ruby Riott were all part of the roster at one time. The show is featuring Judge Hugo Lexington Black, a.k.a. Ricky Shane Page. I like that name, though. Agent Dick J. LaHart, obviously Dick Justice. Gregory Iron, Orange Cassidy, Marion Fontaine. Marion Fontaine is a great choice for that.
Yeah, Bruno, that makes sense.
Yeah. I liked him and Jervis's team. Bruno Moretti, a.k.a. Magnum CK. Alley Cat will be on the show. Human Cannonball, the Vaudeville Act. So, yeah.
What about Thunder Kitty? They didn't bring in Thunder Kitty?
Well, it says there's much more, but she's done the other shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
And then what about Simon Grimm? I remember when he had that gimmick, that old-timey gimmick for a while.
Yeah. Well, they only ran a handful of shows in the past, so I don't know what's going on. I know they did the show where they had the guy wrestle the dude who was dressed up as a bear in one. But, you know, because they had to do that. But that's really the only major thing on Powerbomb TV. I didn't bother looking for any other shows other than this one because Chikara is doing the Infinite Gauntlet on Saturday. And, I mean, I probably won't be able to watch this live, which is why I'll probably buy it or I'll finally get Chikaratopia because, damn it, I might as well. I've already watched all these fucking shows. But I did catch Revenge of the Lawn Gnomes yesterday, which was a pretty good show. I don't think that's the original Crossbones. And if it is, he got bigger. But,
oh,
yeah,
that's what I thought. I was like, is that the real Crossbones? Like, I was trying to figure it out. Like,
yeah, he was big as fuck. And Crossbones was bigger. This guy was bigger.
He
looked like the size of Congo Kong. Almost.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. I actually thought it was Congo Kong for some reason.
Yeah.
But after a while, I was like, nah, that's not Congo Kong. But still, the dude, I was like, he's too fucking big. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah. There was Cyberhawks 2000 versus The Beach. It was my first time seeing Cyberhawks. I caught a little bit of their storyline going. One of the guys is damaged and has been sent back to cyberspace, and they're replacing him with another Cyberhawk. So, okay. What I saw was actually kind of impressive with the guys. They're still rather green for only been around for a few years, obviously. I don't know what hell his name is, Topin something or other. The guy, the one dude who was a jerk at the scramble at Joey Janela's spring break. who kept grabbing himself in his match. He beat Officer Warren Parks, all the shows alright, Solo Darling, beat Fire Ant, Thief Ant, Green Ant, Los Ice Creams all got their asses kicked by the Creatures of the Deep, which I actually like the stable. I think Oceana's a very good heel. Murloc is just huge and just tosses people around. That makes feelings of the other guys. There's that Proteus Wheel guys. All those dudes need to look like they need to hit the gym or something, but they're big. Really liked Ophidian versus Puma King. I thought it was funny someone pointed out that they've seen Puma King on, from CMLL on, like, Powerbomb TV more than they've seen him ever do, like, than Ring of Honor running CMLL guys all year.
Yeah.
But Puma King is fucking big. I didn't realize.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah. Really like him, really smooth. And then the main event, the Closers retained their title against the Throwbacks. It was a pretty good show. And I do like the setup for their place. It has a nice look to it. But the Infinite Gauntlet, so here we go. We have the Infinite Gauntlet, which is basically just a kind of a Royal Rumble thing, except you could, you know, pin or submit the guy to have him lose as well. It has most of their dudes in there. We got a four corners tag scramble match. Oleg the Usurper and the Boar of Moldova, who's still rocking it. Keep going, Boar. Taking on Crummles and DeFarge, taking on Des Pelton versus Colin Delaney and Sheech. Mike Quackenbush in one-on-one match with Eric Cannon. Check this out. Mr. Touchdown versus Mr. Anderson.
Oh, yeah, that one's a surprising one for me a little bit.
Yeah. And the Closers will defend the Campeonato de Brea against two members of the Cyberhawks. So that is the Infinite Gauntlet. We'll do the Backlash in a little while after we talk Raw and SmackDown, I guess. Unless, you know, you just want to skip that because fuck Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, not much happened on Raw and SmackDown. Fuck, what happened on there? Shinsuke hit people in the balls more on SmackDown.
That's a meme now. He understands. I only see the GIFs, and the GIFs of Shinsuke right now are awesome. Everything he does looks fun. Like, where's this Shinsuke been for the last 2 years?
Yeah, so apparently, so basically it seems like Samoa Joe is going to be the next challenger for the WWE Championship. So I'm guessing Shinsuke is probably going to take the L of Backlash, so it could be Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles.
Or they just do a triple threat.
Oh yeah, they could do that too. Yeah, they could do that too.
I mean, it would be basically like the five-star match between Joe, Styles, and Daniels. Instead of just swapping Daniels with Nakamura.
Nakamura, yeah. I think Nakamura had a match with Daniel Bryan after 205 Live. Because you know how they do those dark matches after everything's over. And yep. He hit Daniel Bryan in the balls for that, on that show. In that match, too. So he's hitting everybody in the balls. Shit. And then, what else happened? Raw, there was some stuff. And there was more stuff. Ruby Riott and Sasha Banks was actually a pretty good match. The women's tag match, that was the main event of SmackDown, was pretty good, too. Sheamus and Xavier Woods versus Xavier Woods is actually pretty good.
Why are they letting Sheamus still wrestle, though? The guy's gonna die.
I don't know, but he put in some decent work, though. Shit, and who else? Yeah, just a whole bunch of shit. And then I think Lana appeared in a backstage segment with Rusev and Aiden English, but it was interesting for the fact that Lana isn't using her accent anymore. They just completely scrapped that. It seems like they just completely scrapped the accent.
So they Kofi Kingston her accent?
Which makes sense, I guess, because, like, if you watch Total Divas and shit, she doesn't use the accent, obviously. So it's like, people know that it's not really her fucking voice, so it's like, no point.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think she's kept that accent longer than Kofi kept his.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, man.
Alright, so I guess we'll just go to fucking Backlash then.
But what about Greatest Royal Rumble? Actually, you know what? We'll just use that Greatest Royal Rumble shit for news. But yeah, let's go Backlash.
I mean, I can go over the results real fast, and we can go back to that. Alright, Greatest Royal... You're telling me you... Oh, no, that's exactly what I was... Damn it, Great Britain. I was clicking on Greatest Royal Rumble. What the hell is wrong with you? It's always weird with the internet. They suggest something and then they take it away. All right, here we go. Greatest Royal Rumble, which you saw parts of the Rumble. I decided, fuck it, I'm not watching this shit on Friday. I don't want to watch this. All right, so here's what we have. Their theme song was When Legends Rise by Godsmack. It was at the Saudi General Sport. It was sponsored by the Saudi General Sports Authority. Venue was King Abdullah International Stadium in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Jeddah. I want to say Jeddah. I really want to say it was Jeddah. Yep. Yeah. All right. It had apparently attendance was 60,000. So yay. We've already talked a bit about the controversy, so we'll just get to the matches. John Cena defeated Triple H in a singles match in 15 minutes and 45 seconds. Cedric Alexander... Actually, there was a statistic about how many of the major champions that Triple H has faced in one-on-one matches, and there was like a handful of guys who were still alive that he's not faced who have been former WWE World Champions too, which were like Miz, Rey Mysterio, and like two other people.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. So I think their point was that he's faced more former world heavyweight champions in WWE than anyone else. But yeah, so now he has to beat Rey Mysterio and The Miz and like one or two other people. All right, we had Cedric Alexander successfully defended his title against Kalisto in just over 10 minutes. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy are the new tag team champions of the WWE Raw brand, the leader of worlds, I guess, right? Jeff Hardy successfully defended his title against Jinder Mahal, and Jinder Mahal totally missed one of his moves and sold it anyway. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I missed it.
Yeah, I think Jeff Hardy did the whisper and win move off the top, and Jinder was in the wrong place, and he still sold it. Clear as day. And then Jinder was like, I forget what Jinder's excuse was, but it was actually kind of funny. The Bludgeon Brothers successfully defended their title. Oh, the Jeff Hardy match was over 6 minutes. The Bludgeon Brothers defeated Usos to retain the SmackDown titles in 5 minutes and 5 seconds. Seth Rollins successfully defended his title against Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. A ladder match, just over 15 minutes. AJ Styles successfully... it was a double countout, that's right. So, heard the match was actually really good and far better than their WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Undertaker defeated Rusev in 9 minutes and 40 seconds, which was about, 6 minutes and 40 seconds longer than John Cena survived. So, yeah. Rusev is better than John Cena. Brock Lesnar successfully defended his title when Roman Reigns speared him out the cage. I guess the match was designed to be controversial ending.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to give us Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns again sometime in the future.
Yeah, because they
We don't want it!
Yeah, because they had, like, Roman, like, basically claiming that he won. He basically won the match on Raw, basically.
Yep. And in the greatest Royal Rumble of all time, a 50-man Royal Rumble, Braun Strowman won, eliminating Big Cass at the end. The match was an hour, 17 minutes, and now Daniel Bryan holds the record for longest man in a Royal Rumble match without winning. And with even against the guy who won, because the longest before him was Rey Mysterio, and I think he beat him by a minute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So I think that means Daniel Bryan is an hour and 7 minutes into Royal time in Rumble, because I think he came out first. Apparently they decided, okay, Bryan, you want to be back wrestling? We're going to work your ass like you've still been wrestling. We're going to put all 3 years of wrestling you missed in one match and some shit. Yep. Nope, sorry. He was in the match for 1 hour and 16 minutes. So the match itself was an hour and 17 minutes. So actually, yeah, so the match only lasted about a minute and 4 seconds longer after he went out. So he went out right before Big Cass went out. So he went from the first one to the last three.
Wow.
That's really, really good.
Wow. Yeah, shit. Right. And who were the surprise ones? It was a random sumo guy.
Okay, there's a reason why there was a random sumo guy. Apparently, the guy who put this together wanted... He made three names. He wanted Ultimate Warrior, Yokozuna, and Undertaker at the show. So, yeah, they found a random sumo guy. Mike Kanellis was in there for the shortest amount of time, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
We had Hornswoggle was one of the surprises. Also, I guess we should talk, Titus O'Neil became a meme.
Yeah, that slide, son. That goddamn slide. I think they joked about it on Raw. And they kind of had him slip on the apron or whatever to distract Baron Corbin and get No Way Jose to win. But I hope they don't just play this out like they always do. Because WWE loves to do this. Like, something turns into a meme and then they completely... destroy it. Like,
but on the reverse thing, if something gets over, they don't want to roll with it.
Right.
Rusev Day. All right, so the Daniel Bryan thing, it was an hour and 16 minutes versus Rey Mysterio's hour and 2 minutes.
Wow.
And also, Braun Strowman broke Roman Reigns' elimination record by eliminating 13 people. And technically, he was in at 41, so the ring had to still be pretty full when he came in.
Oh, yeah, it was.
All right. So that is the greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Of all time.
But now we're going to talk about the actual Backlash show. So here we go. Our theme song is called Champion by something called Barnes Courtney.
I don't know.
What that is. Is that
they always have these no-name people.
Oh, it's a English singer who does folk pop and blues rock. Wow, when I think professional wrestling, made after 1985, based on a New York company that's stationed in Connecticut, I think folk rock music. All right, so it's sponsored by Hulu and Mattel.
Really? Sponsored by Hulu?
Mattel.
Well, I guess that kind of counts. I guess that makes sense, since they still have that working relationship with Hulu.
Yeah. And apparently, I guess Mattel makes the WWE toys.
Yeah, yeah.
WWE's also the makers of Barbie and Masters of the Universe and the Matchbox cars. So, there. Oh, Fisher Price as well. Okay, it's at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. Huh. Oh, the next show after this is NXT TakeOver Chicago. All right, sweet. All right, so here we go. We got matches. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I give this match 7 minutes. Tops. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
We got Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. I'm going to say Big Cass wins just so they could stretch out this feud.
Yeah, I got Cass.
We got Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe. If there is a God, Samoa Joe will win.
Yeah, hopefully Samoa Joe. I got Samoa Joe on it.
If they're going to heat him up for a title match, he shouldn't be losing.
Right.
We have Carmella versus Charlotte Flair. Come on, Carmella better keep the damn title.
Like, she has shit that she has to work on, but I still feel like she needs to hold the title longer.
Yeah. Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. Look, Nia Jax loses this title to Alexa Bliss. I'm never watching a WWE.
Yeah, after all those fucking PSAs that Alexa Bliss is doing on Raw, she better not fucking win. Like, come on now. That shit's fucking annoying. Yeah, they got these. Have you seen those PSAs?
I saw clips of them, and I think they're funny. But I don't want her to win the title.
Yeah,
she doesn't need the title. I mean, at this point, I think the women's revolution would be better if they just created another fucking wrestling show, just gave it all to the women. and then gave them their occasional own pay-per-view. It could be like fucking NXT stuff. Just, you know, once every 2 or 3 months, give us just a 2-hour women's show you filmed somewhere. I mean, it's not that hard.
Right.
All right, we got Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. Hopefully Jeff Hardy retains the title, because fuck Randy Orton.
I think they said the last time he faced him was that infamous like leap off of the structure. Remember that?
Not really. I'm sure I've probably seen Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy, but for some reason, my brain tries not to remember Randy Orton matches that much.
Because it was like, it was, I don't know if it looked like some type of dumpster thing, but like, Jeff Hardy climbed up, and while Randy Orton was like in that little dumpster type contraption, so no one could actually see it, so he climbed up and did the Swanton, and of course they put the cameras on him after the fact, and then of course they looked like he laid on him and shit like that. But you could tell that how the inside of whatever structure that was pretty soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever.
All right, we got Seth Rollins versus The Miz. Obviously, I think Seth Rollins is going to keep it because Miz is on SmackDown, Rollins is on Raw.
Right.
And then the main event, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Okay, I'm worried so one of these titles has to live. Well, no, I guess I could do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 titles on the line. And we don't think anybody's losing the belt, so we're going to be wrong somewhere. All right, nothing about pre-show matches. So that is Backlash. How is your hype level for this show?
Half and half. It's all right.
Yeah, mine is non-existent. I completely forgot this thing was happening. I mean, I'm more excited for NXT TakeOver Chicago. That doesn't even have a card
yet.
Is
that? What is that anyway?
It is. I like that it gives me a link as the next show up, but it doesn't actually have a Wikipedia listing yet. Okay, it's June 16th.
June 16th, yeah, because they don't even have any viable like feuds going on right now. No feuds for the tag titles. No feuds for the women's titles. I guess Gargano will be going after Aleister Black, but of course Ciampa is still lurking in the wings. The North American title,
Ciampa Sports Entertainment.
Basically, nothing has formed up so far for there to be a viable like route to guess what the card is.
And yet, I am sure that I still have more hype for this thing than I do for Backlash. Because the last two shows have been great.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go on, I want to mention that I caught the Sendai Girls show from April. I forget exactly what day, but whatever. And the show, I fucking loved it. The top three singles matches were great. And the top two specifically, I put into my top 10 matches for the year so far.
Okay.
And I actually think both of them are my top 5, to be honest with you. But, I mean, they had some of the undercard stuff, and it was on TV, so they clipped a few matches. But the top 3 matches were Hana Kimura, who's also who's a free agent, but she mostly works for Stardom and Sendai Girls, and she's the daughter of Kyoko Kimura, Jungle Kimura, you know, the Asian woman with the big hair who I used to think was part black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Apparently, Hana Kimura also was on a list of readers' poll list. She was the only woman on this top 10 list recently.
Huh.
So, she's really young. She's really good. She's really cute, too, so that helps. But she wrestled, I want to say her name was like, huh?
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. She wrestled some woman, a girl named Mika Awada, who's also been wrestling. They've been feuding kind of on and off in Sendai Girls, and their match was great. So I wanted to pop that. But the next two matches, it was Io Shirai versus Meiko Satomura. They went to a 20-minute draw. That shit was amazing. Beautiful. I mean, that was great. I was pissed off. It should have went another 10 minutes. And it was one of those things, like, a few years ago when I watched, you know, you know when you watch a show, you're like, that's the best match of the show, the next match can't do it, and then the next match does it? Like, Chihiro Hashimoto, Ayoko Hamada on the main event, I actually liked it better, and I was shocked. I'm glad to see Ayoko Hamada wrestling. I fucking love her. I saw someone tweet out a link for this match, and someone responded, Ayoko Hamada murdered that girl. So, that was great. And I looked up, Chihiro Hashimoto actually tried to get into Sendai Girls when she was 16 or something, but Jinsei Shinzaki, who actually co-owns the company, I don't think he actually books anything, but he co-owns the company, he actually convinced her to stay in school and do other sports first. So she went into amateur wrestling.
Nice.
She tried to make it on the Olympic team for the year, but she didn't make it. And then she, that's also probably why she's buffed as fuck. But that's, but then she went and tried out for Sendai Girls again and got in, so.
Nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, high recommendation.
And what's her name again?
Chihiro Hashimoto. You looking her up?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is, she's a thick girl. And she, I mean, her finisher is basically the classic bridging German suplex, kind of like Takayama or Gary Albright. But, you know, she's hitting them power bombs, lariats, version of Northern Light. She also likes doing the Roland Senton, too. But she's a she's not as tall as some of the other girls, but you know she got that lower base to her, like pure power.
I've seen pictures of her. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, she's really good. But her, but yeah, that top three matches. You know, I don't watch women's shows. I try to watch some, but that's my women's show of the year so far. That one.
Nice.
On those top three matches alone, and since I'm talking women's matches, I want to point out. Momo Watanabe won the Stardom Cinderella tournament. We don't talk a lot about Stardom, but the Cinderella tournament's a big one. She won it. I think last year Tony Storm won it, and Io Shirai won the year before. Brandi Rhodes was actually part of the tournament herself. She got to the second round where she lost to Io Shirai. But the main event, the finals was Momo Watanabe versus Bea Presley, a.k.a. Will Ospreay's better half. I'm just going to say it like that. So congratulations to her in the main event, too. And Brandi Rhodes is actually part of a stable in Stardom already. The stable with Hana Kimura and her partner Kagetsu, as well as Session Moth Martina, apparently.
Huh.
So, you know. Yeah. So congratulations to Brandi, who's done more wrestling outside of WWE than she did when she was in WWE. It's weird. I wonder if she's going to be in Japan long enough to hang out, maybe to do some Bullet Club stuff at the big shows this weekend. So, yeah, so we'll see. But that's a little bit of random Stardom news. But yeah, if you want to check it out, the Sendai Girls show, just go to prowrestledream.wordpress.com. Look up Sendai Girls. It's the show. You can watch it online on their Google or whatever. I usually just download it from Google. It's like 2 hours, you know, once you cut out the first like 20 minutes of the in guy introducing the show. But yeah, and it also had Solo Darling and Sammy Jane from England on there, but their matches are sort of clipped or inconsequential because it's really, you know, when they're doing those kind of shows, they usually put the main focus on the main event matches. But they also did the full show for, like, the young girls kind of wrestlers, the two women who are kind of in the training area right now. But, yeah, so that's it. That's all I got for women's wrestling. And I guess I should pull up. I think I only got one thing of news, unless I already did it.
Yeah. Oh, while you're pulling that shit up. RIP to the dude in fucking India who died of watching Infinity War.
Really? What happened?
Dude, like, apparently he had a heart attack during the movie, and he fucking died. So, I guess people thought that he was waiting for the after credits and shit. But turns out he was already fucking dead. That's fucking Jesus crazy, dude.
I can't imagine, man. like my biggest fear, well, one of my biggest fears is to die before one of my favorite things ends. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to die before Game of Thrones finishes. I don't want to die before I know what happens in Infinity War. I mean, even though, to be honest with you, I liked Infinity War, it's not a top 5, top 10 MCU movies for me. I need to know how it ended, and I needed to see that movie just because. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't deal with it. Speaking of, I guess, RIPs, one of the writers from Voices of Wrestling apparently passed away suddenly. Sean, I don't remember his last name. I want to say Sean Sador, because I've read some Voices of Wrestling stuff on and off, but thing just kind of popped up today, too, so, you know. Yeah. I already did my bit of news, but I guess I could add that, that, what's his name? The Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith Jr., apologized to Jake Roberts, who dropped the charges. However, New Orleans still wants to arrest him.
Of course. They gotta make sure that they are known as the law and order. No one's above the law. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's New Orleans. Fuck them. Get your shit in order. Get your education and your health and your... All those southern states are screwed. There's, like, southern states... There's states that have a breakout of hepatitis right now. There's some states that are having a weird breakout of eye cancer. I didn't even know eye cancer was a fucking thing until yesterday. The southern states, man. Poor, uneducated, and can't get to a hospital.
Yep.
And maybe, you know, a teenager with a kid and have diseases, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else. I'm sure there's probably other stuff. Joey Janela out here challenging all his favorite junior Japanese heavyweights. Have
yes.
You seen this shit, man?
They said all the guys from the 96 Super J Cup.
I know. Fucking hell is that shit?
Like, anybody that's still Liger. Available.
Yeah, he needs to wrestle Ligers. Yeah, Ultimo Guerrero. He even did a fucking video promo for it and shit.
Wow.
Like, this man understands. This man is like a... This man's like following the Young Bucks playbook, but it's taking up a level, you know? Because his promo packages are top-notch. Joey Janela.
Oh. Yo, he's the funniest dude.
Yeah, he's all, like, my second favorite Twitter account after Chuck Taylor. What was it? You see Chuck Taylor's response to Ospreay's new finisher?
Oh, no. What did he say?
He basically just congratulated him. And then Ospreay said, so does that mean I get to be on your TV, on your show now? And then Taylor's like, yeah, you can come on and ruin your career.
Oh, man.
Ospreay's like, apparently I do that every time I open my mouth anyway. But, so that was a good back and forth. Oh, yeah. All right, that's all. I ain't got shit. What you got?
Okay, let me pull up my shit. Now, it's going to be a little bit, because, of course, shit always got to fucking load. So, in the meantime, I'm going to talk about God of War, which I had finally finished a few days ago. Very nice story, very touching. Still have a few side quest-type things to do on it. So, I'm definitely going to get on that. But, now that everything's loaded... some added tidbits from the Greatest Royal Rumble. Apparently, besides the women, Sami Zayn was not allowed to participate in the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Because of racism.
Yeah, most likely because of his Syrian Muslim heritage and his public support for Syria in trying to give aid with his Sammy for Syria charity, which I donated to once. So definitely check that out, Sammy for Syria. Sammy, so Syria and Saudi Arabia don't get along. And what other...
I'm pretty sure Sami Zayn probably doesn't really get along with Syria either. He's just... You know how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, as a Syrian, he's probably not, like, you know, ally with the Syrian government so much as he's with the Syrian people.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of stupid to let him off the show just because you don't like the other person's government.
Right. Then,
but, you know, I don't understand Middle Eastern politics.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too tricky. I don't know. Fuck it. And then another thing to add other conflict stuff. Arya Daivari and Sean Daivari appeared on the Greatest Royal Rumble in a segment involving some of the Saudi recruits. And they came in, waved their Iranian flags, because there is conflict between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and basically just had the recruits beat them up. So, Iranians, apparently, they watch WWE. They were watching closely. They were watching that shit, and a lot of them didn't like that shit. So, they got on the Daivari brothers specifically for agreeing to go ahead with that shit, and they actually threatened Arya with death. So yeah, he got some death threats for it. So yeah, a lot of people felt like that was gonna be received badly, and apparently it has. So
yeah,
and then another big thing that also ended up happening during the Greatest Royal Rumble, while the Rumble was going on during those 5 hours or some shit, right, they actually ended up airing an ad to the crowd that apparently mistakenly featured the scantily clad women wrestlers. Somebody caught it on their their camera, their cell phone camera, and you could hear a lot of the you could hear the crowd like oohing and aahing and doing all that misogynistic whistling and shit, you know, that type of stuff. So yeah, that happened, but that wasn't the end of it. Apparently, the General Sports Authority of Saudi Arabia had to issue an apology to the crowd, for showing scantily clad women, and promised them that it would never happen again. So
yeah, that kind of defeats WWE saying we hope one year, day we can do this.
Exactly. So like, if you got them apologizing for this shit, like, they still have a long way to fucking go.
I did hear that there was some positive responses to some of the videos of women, because it sounds like some of the people actually watch WWE actually do probably like the women.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and even if the crowd was doing oohing on, as long as they weren't booing, I think that's at least one kind of a positive sign. Yeah, I would rather, I mean, at least if they're, like, being misogynistic, you have the opportunity to change their mind about them actually wrestling.
Yeah.
Because you could put them in front of it, and even if they don't take the women seriously as athletes, they want to watch them. So they could change their mind, whereas if they had been booing, it'd be like, yeah, let's not try this shit.
Right.
But, you know, who knows how things are. Obviously, the people who are running the country are really trying to change things. It's just sometimes things are a process. And sometimes I don't want to deal with the process.
Trust the process. Joel Embiid. Anyway, moving away from that and going to WrestleMania weekend stuff, Low-Key issued a video statement explaining why he kept the deposit for Bloodsport despite dropping out of it due to injury. So he claims he got injured during training and flew out to New Orleans to try to work things out another way. Apparently that other way was for him to cut a promo and have MVP placed in it in his place. Like, basically fight Matt Riddle instead.
Mm.
So, but Brett Lauderdale was not having that. So, but when he did show up to the actual, when he did show up, apparently he went to the hotel that was supposed to be booked for him, but the reservation was no longer valid anymore. Brett Lauderdale had canceled the reservation. Because,
which makes sense if you're not going to show up.
Because he's not there. Yeah, because if he's not fucking supposed to show up. And then, like, apparently there was, like, they were trying to get in communication. Like, Homicide was in the middleman through half of it. And then the other half was Brett trying to get in contact with Loki and him not responding. So it was a whole messy thing. So Brett would eventually respond with a lengthy post. That he basically went into, basically Loki went into business for himself and scammed a company, said that he hired him despite many objecting and it bit him in the ass. He says that Loki tried to make GCW pay for costs for his MRI after injury, and that he wasn't informed of the injury directly, but he did miss a call from him, as he gets a lot of calls and messages. Homicide, who is the lead trainer at GCW, was brokering much of the deals and communication between the two. Loki tried to make a compromise that I just mentioned earlier. They didn't like it. Matt Riddle also did not like it either. But also, one thing that they also that was noted was that Loki claims that basically Brett Lauderdale did a bait and switch. So, like, basically book somebody, advertise them, but not actually use them, and book somebody of lesser lesser standing in his place, which didn't make any fucking sense for the fact that Brett invested over $3,000 in him and then went ahead and ended up booking Suzuki, who they had to pay a lot more for.
Yeah.
You know? So the whole thing was a fucking mess. Loki will not give his money back because he feels like just because he made it to New Orleans.
Apparently, Loki also thinks he's owed more money.
Oh, because he says he's owed more money and he's owed money for the MRI that he wanted to get for the injury or whatever. So it's a fucking mess, man. It's fucking, I don't know. Loki, I don't know how people do business with that guy.
I think he's sort of like a weird attraction now that he was such a indie legend that you kind of book him to kind of for like audience to see, because there's a whole lot of indie fans who probably only really know Loki through word of mouth and YouTube videos. Like, they've never actually seen the guy.
Right.
So he's sort of a weird internet indie attraction now that it's just absolutely strange. And I mean, I went through I was looking through up Loki right now on fucking Twitter, and I saw some woman who said she doesn't know how anyone thinks Suzuki's better than Loki, and I swear to God, almost had a heart attack.
Jesus. Oh my God.
And she was like, I guess she was still mad at Suzuki's Noah title run, and I'm like, the fuck? I know, Suzuki is a legit dude, though.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck wrestling. We're talking about Bloodsport. If Bloodsport was supposed to blur the line between wrestling and MMA, who do you fucking want more, Loki or Suzuki? Suzuki's the guy who's done fucking both.
Yeah, Pancrase, man. That Pancrase shit.
Yeah, invented Japanese MMA, essentially.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? I don't know. Let's just keep in mind that we've now seen more matches between fucking James Ellsworth and Matt Riddle than Loki and Matt Riddle.
Oh,
like,
man.
Ellsworth legitimately out here having with that wrestling all the top indie stars. Like, that's where he is.
Yeah, man, he's everywhere.
See? James Ellsworth really is trying to put food on the plate for his family.
Mm-hmm.
They flying him out special attraction matches and shit. You know, yeah, nope, I'm not hating. James Ellsworth is doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he ain't fucking scared to get destroyed, too. That's what makes it great.
Yeah, he got killed by Matt Riddle. Fucking destroyed.
But I still loved it that Matt Riddle missed him with the knee because Ellsworth didn't have a chin.
No chin. Oh,
that
shit.
Was one of the great sell jobs of all time.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Yeah, he's a character. He's a character. All right. In other news, Tony Schiavone apparently is joining MLW on a multi-year deal. Of course, MLW has that nice, sweet TV deal with BN Sports. So, it's a pretty... Well, BN Sports USA, I believe. Yeah, so that's nice on him. Getting back into that groove, I guess. And then who else is in the news? Flip Gordon. Apparently, he has met all his military obligations. And he is not realistic.
Except for the science test to prove.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, he's starting to take the science test. Is the Earth flat or is it round?
I don't know. But yeah, he met all of his, so basically his contract, his military contract's up, and he will no longer be in the military. He's not re-enlisting or anything like that. He's doing wrestling full time. So, I guess good on him, I guess, for doing that shit. And, Kane, this past Tuesday, he won the primary, for Knox County, the Republican primary, to be exact.
Yeah. But isn't he a libertarian?
Yeah, he's essentially a libertarian, but like...
See, that's the thing that gets me about libertarians, is they're all, like, gung-ho about libertarianism, but they can't take them all, their own party serious enough to run with that shit.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
I mean, you get them in... When the elections come up, they're all like, well, I'm a libertarian, but I can't vote for the libertarian guy because he's going to lose, so I'll vote for whichever the Democrat or Republican.
Right.
And, you know, that, and it sort of depends on what kind of libertarian they are because, you know, some libertarians are more leftist than others.
Right, right.
And it depends on how much they care about their leftist concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Because, right. Like, I think even the Koch brothers are more libertarian than conservatives, but they mostly just support Republican efforts. The only good thing I can say about the Koch brothers
until
is
recently,
they,
I think.
Yeah.
I think they've been behind the scenes doing some work with Democrats, too, I think.
Yeah, because I think they want to redo the prison system, because that seems to be the one thing I agree with them that about prison reform and getting a bunch of people out of jail. I mean, for them, it probably just means that they need to get them out of jail because they need more people working for them anyway, right?
Yeah. Because, like, most likely they don't have much... much stock in the prison industrial system, complex. So, of
and
course...
And the prison industrial complex comes with too many issues to deal with anyway.
Yeah.
Because those places get hit with lawsuits after lawsuits for,
right.
You know, human crimes. But it's weird, too, because I was looking up famous libertarians, and I found the guy who runs... I don't know if you ever heard of the company Alice and Eve?
Alice and Eve? You mean the, sex toys, sex whatever
yes.
Supply place.
Porn company.
Yeah, porn.
One of their founders is a libertarian, but it was interesting because, I mean, it doesn't surprise me because they're like, you know, they wouldn't care about porn, but the guy also is very much into promoting safe sex, so they actually are involved in safe sex studies and stuff, which I found absolutely fascinating. But I guess it works with that concept that don't trust the government or stuff to teach you. Somebody else should teach you. The only problem with that is that, you know, everyone has a fucking agenda. But I found that part interesting that the guy was and he was one of the largest. That company's one of the largest fucking companies in the state of North Carolina or something.
Hmm.
Or like they hire most of some city. I thought that was fascinating.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't really understand or like libertarianism, but...
Yeah, me neither.
But some of the guys are interesting. I just think it's fascinating that the much love that the character from Parks and Recreation gets, because in a lot of ways he's not really a typical libertarian. He has slightly more leftist views, and his partner on the show, Leslie Knope, is very much leftist pro-government type.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, he has libertarian values. This isn't the libertarian guy like you're kind of promoting for your actual people. You would think you're all idiots who can't handle your own shit.
Yeah.
But back to Kane, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
I'd have voted and... for him just because.
But yeah, so he is going on to the general election, which will be in May. November. General election. Of course, he'll be facing whatever.
I believe he had more turnout for his thing than the Democrat had for his thing.
What'd you say?
I think he had more turnout for his primary vote.
Oh yeah,
than the Democrat had
win.
For his primary. Huh?
Yeah, he. There's a big chance he's gonna end up winning.
Yeah. So that is a. Good on him.
Yeah. And in other news, Braxton Sutter, formerly known as Pepper Parks, is no longer with Impact Wrestling. He's the latest in a string of departures, as Impact has restructured in the past several months. I think Ellie is still part of Impact, though.
Oh, they're not letting her go. They like her.
Yeah, because they like her. They like her, they like Rosemary, they like Sue Young. So those three are definitely not
and,
leaving.
Yeah, because it's really coming up to basically Allie and Rosemary versus Sue Young in the Undying Brides.
Yeah.
And then, I guess they also like Taya, and now they got Tessa Blanchard. And it seems like they're building a pretty decent women's division.
Yeah. Yeah, one woman's wrestler I'm not a big fan of, though, that seems like she's, like, big or whatever. Like she's popular, but I don't see much of her is, what's her name? I forgot what her name is.
Is she in Impact Wrestling?
Yeah.
All right, I'm on their thing right now. Let's see if I can bring
she has she wears fishnets. Black and like kind of brown streaks in her hair, I think, or something like that.
I don't know why their site isn't giving me the
God
fucking.
Damn it, I forgot what her name was.
Where is it? Okay, here it is. What do you mean, list of Impact Wrestling albums?
I think it starts with an A.
I didn't know they had albums. Give me the damn roster, for God's sakes. Impact Wrestling roster. Maybe that'll bring up something. Why is some of these Wikipedia pages are structured so fucking weird? I can never figure out what's going on. All right, so she would be under the active roster. I'll just look at Impact Wrestling website. Active roster. All right, do you have all the women separated? Is that what this is? Sure. No, I had to press more and it has to fucking load. What the hell is this crap? So the women are probably at the bottom because everything I'm seeing right now are just men. You've been around for years. Can't you have a professionally done website? Oh, do I have to go to a completely different roster page for the women? Because it looks like I do. Because you didn't put the women on this roster page. All right. Okay, current champions. Alright, Impact. See? So the women are... Okay, finally. Tessa Blanchard, Taya Valkyrie, Sue Young. Okay, you're talking about Sienna.
Yeah, that's it. Shit. Because like she used to go by an A.
Allison Kay, AKA.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of her.
I think it's more her promo work is what she seems to be really popular for.
Yeah.
Online. I mean, she has a pretty... it seems active Twitter account, and I think... some of the people who hired her, they really liked her personality. She has a good look, but I mean, I don't really remember her too well as a wrestler.
Yeah,
I've seen a few of her matches. I didn't think she was bad. I thought she was okay. You know, a solid hand would be what I would say.
Yeah.
I can say the same thing about Allie, but she has a lot more personality.
Right.
And I did like her when she teamed quite a bit when her and Kimberly were a tag team in Shimmer. I thought they were a great heel tag team. But, I mean, Rosemary to me is the most interesting because she is a complete reinvention because I remember watching her as Courtney Rush. I mean, she was, like, a very technically good wrestler, but she was more of a comedic personality. So she was a very interesting figure in Shimmer at the time, especially her and Sarah Del Rey. For her to reinvent herself as Rosemary shows a very good understanding about how wrestling reinvention.
Interesting.
All right. What else we got going on?
Besides that, apparently the former Darren Young was interviewed. He praised Finn Balor and Sonya Deville in their efforts to spread awareness for the LGBTQ community in the WWE, but says he basically cried when he saw the Finn Balor entrance because he wasn't included and at the time was frustrated for the fact that WWE basically brushed him off in the past for bringing more awareness, especially last year for WrestleMania 33 when they were in Orlando, same place where the Pulse shooting occurred, where over 40 LGBTQ lives were lost. It seems like they basically stonewalled him, and when I say stonewalled, I used the term in the new meaning for, you know, you remember that movie, Stonewall.
Yeah, they went with the white guy who didn't really exist to be the lead.
Yeah, basically. I mean,
it's a really bad, it is a really bad sign that you would have an out-and-out gay wrestler and you don't want to do anything with him, but you want to hint a bit with Finn Balor, who, you know, I don't know if Finn Balor's gay or not, but he's like, not, if he is gay, he's not out.
Because he, apparently he's dating, what's her name? The one girl that, does those segments and shit.
Charlie Caruso?
No, not Charlie Caruso. She does, like, WWE, YouTube stuff all the time. I forgot what her name is, but she has, like, black hair and kind of pale. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot what her fucking name is. But basically, she's like a pale, black-haired counterpart to Renee Young, basically.
I'm going to look her name up, because I don't like when we don't know the people's name, but I'm gonna look her up. Okay, well, I feel good for her. I just hope she's not getting any sort of, you know, hate mail from the Finn Balor crazy fans. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, I guess she would be under broadcast team, maybe? I don't know. It's not Catherine Kelly, is it?
Yeah, I think that, Kathy Kelly, I think. Yeah, I think that's
it. Wikipedia is not giving me a fucking picture, so I'm going to have to...
Yeah, Kathy Kelly.
All right, I'm going to look her up, picture. Yeah, I mean, I'd be frustrated, too. WWE had the opportunity. I mean, he actually got a shout-out. I can't believe I already forgot the guy's name, but the dude from the Nexus. Yeah. Because he got a shout-out by John Cena after he came out, because TMZ, for some reason, was just happened to be around with Cena and Nikki Bella, and they asked him.
Oh, yeah.
And Cena said it was a good... He thought it was a good thing. He mentioned that he had a brother who was gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he came out, that's a great bit.
Yeah.
You know? But it's weird that even Cena can, like, you know, name check somebody and give him credit, and WWE's like, we still ain't gonna do shit with this guy.
Yeah.
That's how much WWE hates. And what doesn't make that work either is they can't create, or they really can't create their own LGBT wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something they can do. I mean, they got Sonya Deville. They're not gonna it doesn't seem like they want to do anything with her. She's an out lesbian. Why, you know, are they just gonna be like, nah, we'll pick our own lesbian wrestler.
Yeah.
Kathy Kelly is pretty cute. Yeah, apparently she's, I guess, a trained, but I guess WWE trained all those. Oh, and she's an active member of Mensa International.
One of those super smart people.
Yeah, but the thing about Mensa is just IQ, you know, it doesn't really say anything about success. There's a Ravens, a member of Mensa.
Oh, and who's the Ravens member?
No, Raven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, Raven is a member. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember reading about that.
And there's a famous porn star who's also a member too. And apparently, they didn't want to put her on the list though, and she was like, "No, I passed your damn test."
I'd sue.
He's like, yeah, Asia Carrera. There we go.
Who?
Asia Carrera. She was a famous. She's older compared to a lot of people. Yeah. She was like late 80s, early 90s. But yeah. She was a member of Mensa. Doesn't say that on here, but I remember her talking about it. She had an interesting life. But yeah, I thought that was a good... Apparently there's an article here, the smartest porn star. I actually want to click it and see what's going on.
Oh God. Okay.
A lot of those porn stars, you know, they went to college. They used that money to go to college to get, you know.
Right.
They got, like, degrees in psychology and stuff. Lori Wall.
Either, like, psychology or, like, nursing or something like that.
Well, this one, what was her name? Lori Wallace. She's a major in German and political science. From Loyola College in Maryland.
Loyola. So, Isn't that a girls' school?
That might be. She was also accepted at law at George Washington University before she left. Interesting. AJ Bailey, what you got going on?
Anyway, before you start segueing into all this shit, I'm going to keep going with the news.
I just find this absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, you can do that shit on your own time.
The myth of the dumb porn star.
Anyway, you can do that. Anyway, John Cena had some things to say about people getting into the business with ulterior motives on Chris Hardwick's podcast. Basically said that... if you're a pro wrestler and you're basically going into being a pro wrestler to get famous, you're not going to have a good time. You're probably going to fail. So you have to be in it to be a wrestler, plain and simple.
Yeah, that's why I think a lot of the guys that WWE basically trains wash out, because they think it's going to be easy and it'll be a path to success, and they see the hard work and they're like,
right,
nope. And they nope the fuck out of there.
Yeah. And, of course, he also talked about the comparison between pro wrestling and comic books, basically talking about how faces have to be the superheroes. You have to look the part of a superhero, be buff, and all that shit like that. The typical cliche bullshit or whatever. And, of course, supervillains got to look the part of a supervillain, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, to segue into that, Infinity War went down. I saw that shit on Friday. It's fucking amazing. I think it's made over 800 million by now. So,
I mean, I could look it up, but
I think it was like 800
million anyway.
It was 808 million so far, like worldwide.
Yeah, Disney ain't gonna stop until, you know, they buy all the companies, I guess. Almost definitely. I don't know. But yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Some stuff went down I did not expect. Some of it I did assume. I knew it was going to be a depressing ending because there's going to be another one out next year.
Right. Like, you saw that coming.
It had to go down. My biggest... I don't know if we should do spoilers. Do you want to do spoilers?
Spoiler alert for anybody who's listening. Fuck it.
Look, it's fucking Infinity War. You knew that shit was gonna be spoiler warning the day before the movie came out. If you missed it within those first 4 days, I'm sorry. This ain't any other movie. This was a modest budget movie, and half the screens, I'd wait a week or two.
Right.
Fucking Infinity Wars. You're taking your life in your own hands, walking outside.
But yeah,
something's gonna run by like they killed Spider-Man.
Okay, so basically, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, you probably should mute the next 5 minutes or less, whatever,
or skip whatever
way you're listening to this lovely podcast.
Yeah. So one where that I was actually surprised with was how many of the Guardians of the Galaxy disappeared. I sure as fuck expected Star-Lord to stay in there. Not that Nebula and Rocket Raccoon will be the two that survive from that.
Right.
Really shocked me. And I mean, I know they're probably going to be coming back for obvious reasons. But even then, also Gamora dying, I was like, damn, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, props for bringing Red Skull back, even if it was a different actor, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I didn't know he'd show up in this movie, but I knew he was still floating around somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I figured. They didn't really kill him. You just kind of assumed something happened when he got hit by, sucked into the Tesseract.
Yeah, he got blasted into space. So that's basically what happened at the end of the fucking movie. He got blasted into, like, it looked like it tore him apart a little bit, but, like, it definitely looked like it blasted him into space.
Yeah. I also kind of expected, I wasn't really hype on the Stinger. I'm not a big Captain Marvel fan, but even then I would have, but the way it was done was like, well, no one knows who the fuck Captain Marvel is in the mainstream.
So, see, and but the thing is that that's the whole point of, I think, that type of stuff, because it gets people questioning shit, and that's what gets people attracted. So by next year,
I guess it
year,
depends on how many people watched it and were like, okay, well, you know, what was that? And they asked somebody who, you know, asked someone they know would know.
Yeah.
Like, my brother was like...
But that helps, though. That helps.
I guess.
That helps.
I mean, I guess it sort of depends on the kind of person, the kind of fan you are. If you're not, like, a hardcore MCU fan, then it's not going to help. If you're like us, well, maybe not me necessarily, because I actually know the character, but if you're a hardcore MCU fan, sure. But there are people who are watching these movies now who are more casual fans.
See,
I don't
the thing
see the
is
Stinger
that,
having that much effect on
see,
them.
See, but you'd have to remember that in the beginning of this whole fucking MCU experiment, a lot of these characters weren't known to the mainstream in the first place.
See, I'm a little bit on a different level than this, because while they weren't Superman or Spider-Man,
yeah,
there's a wide difference between Iron Man and Captain Marvel.
I don't think so.
No, dude, in my generation, we had Iron Man cartoons.
Yeah, I remember I watched that fucking cartoon.
Yeah. But Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, had nothing. Ms. Marvel was a footnote in the history of Rogue. That's, to me, the difference. Before her movie happens, Ms. Marvel's biggest aspect was being in an episode of the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody
that.
Fucking liked her in there.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm thinking of it as casual, because now at this point, I see the MCU a lot like I see comic books in a certain way. And I wonder with the casual fans how they respond to certain things. Because, I mean, obviously, I know the comics. My brother's a casual fan. I mean, and he kind of knows Ms. Marvel, but he doesn't care. He saw Avengers for one reason. He's not going to go see
But
his main
but,
concern with Ant-Man next.
Okay, so, what about guys like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange is a character that I would say is a little bit more popular.
I don't even think he's as that popular. Like, he may be a step over.
This is another generation thing, because when I came up, there was a Doctor Strange straight-to-video movie that was a joke as a comic book convention. So there were people who didn't know Doctor Strange who were familiar with that. Plus, he was co-created by Steve Ditko and shit, and there was stuff about Frank Miller doing it. So even as among, you know, so there, he had some sort of legendary status just because he had sort of a connection to Spider-Man. So people who didn't, like, necessarily read comics, but they were interested in Spider-Man, probably would have heard of Doctor Strange.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, not really.
I honestly think a lot of books about
the creation of comic.
Like,
I first really learned about Doctor Strange through learning about Spider-Man, because Steve Ditko is such a famous comic book figure, and why he left Marvel. I mean, and it's the same thing, like, with Ditko's connection with, with the Question and stuff, because Ditko's a very famous within, like, those super hardcore libertarian objectivism things, and he's that, you know, there's different ways to learn these things, but I think it's also a generational thing between you and me.
Yeah.
Because it's my age, comic books were far more, I mean, they weren't super mainstream, but they were more mainstream
when I was a kid than when you were younger. You get right. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even like these secondary characters, like Iron Man or Doctor Strange, would have been more known with my generation with than generation. Probably your generation. Yeah. Like, I know Miss Marvel because Miss Marvel got fucked up by Rogue, mostly. Yeah. But she had... But there were other connections here and there. But it's different. Like, I knew who Nick Fury is. And, I mean, I didn't really... I read comic books, but I never really hardcore bought comics until I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And but I knew people like... Because I also... It was the age of Wild fucking... Not Wild, but Image Comics. So Spawn and shit were huge. And so you had another kind of brief... What's the word? Uprising in the popularity of when you could buy comics from a liquor store and buy Spawn. So everyone kind of somewhat knew. And there's so many books now written about the creation of comics. Like, I read a book on the history of Marvel, and it told me of a lot about characters that I've never read a fucking comic book from. I don't know shit about Adam Warlock. But I sure as hell know the guys were on drugs when they were writing his book, apparently. But, I think it's just sort of a different kinds of fans, different age groups, and also the historical aspects. Like, I know shit about science fiction movies I've never probably ever going to watch, but, you know, that's just me. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just sort of like I wonder about the casual fan, but I knew that people my age knew who the fuck, most of them knew who the fuck Iron Man were, at least even the geeks who were more casual geeks. So yeah. When they announced Iron Man, I didn't think it was going to be, I didn't think it was going to be as big a hit as it was, but I knew it would be a hit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just a different thing. I mean, I don't know how well Miss Marvel does. I'm pretty sure she has to do well. It's MCU now. You clap that shit on anything, it's going to make money.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Stinger was specifically a good advertisement. I think they could have done a better advertisement. Or they could have put her poster out right after the movie came out with a nice.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the Thor Stinger at the end of Iron Man 2 was more effective.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. The Civil War Stinger at the end of Ant-Man, but you kind of knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I think the Stingers always sort of go back and forth with the Marvel movies, depending, you know, on the stuff. So, but, I don't know, my hype level for Captain Marvel will depend purely on the trailer, myself. Because I hate that character, to be honest with you. I never liked Carol Danvers as a character. And that's because I'm a rogue, Mark.
Okay.
X-Men Forever.
X-Men Forever. All right.
That's all I got. Oh, Batista's in these movies, so obviously we can talk about this shit.
Yeah, Batista. Okay. And speaking of movies, The Rock's production company, 7 Bucks Productions, is making a film based on, I forgot what the author's name is, but he is the author of the Bourne series. He also made a novel, I think a series called The Jansen Directive. So that is being adapted into a movie, and the star of that film is John Cena. So yes, it is John Cena being produced by The Rock in a nice action thriller movie. So John Cena is stepping up his Hollywood game with the help of The Rock. So very interesting.
All right. So they're spy thrillers. The guy who wrote them died some few years ago, I guess. Yeah. All right. Oh, good luck with that, Cena.
Yeah, good luck with that. Anyway, besides that, apparently...
Oh, it's being written by Akiva Goldsman. Talk about a hit-and-miss type of writer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he's written... You know who Akiva Goldsman is, right?
Didn't he write some Marvel shit?
He wrote a few of the Batman movies, including Batman and Robin.
Oh, God.
But he also won the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay for A Beautiful Mind. So his list is stuff like I like Cinderella Man. That's a good movie. But, you know, his stuff goes from, like, Da Vinci Code to Batman and Robin to, you know, Angel and Demons, Da Vinci Code shit. He's produced a bunch of bad movies. He's produced a bunch of good movies. So that's a guy who's wildly all over the place. Oh, he wrote that, co-wrote that movie, The Fifth Way, which was one of those, we're going to try to be a YA film thing.
Oh, yeah, that shit ended in disaster.
Literally. Yeah, he co-wrote the last Transformers movie and the Dark Tower movie. Yeah, his last few scripting jobs were not that successful.
See, but
yeah,
luckily...
he did the reboot for Rings as well.
See, but...
He co-wrote the last of the Divergent movies. Jesus, this guy hasn't had a hit since... The last hits he's been in are movies he's produced or had a small acting role in.
Oh, God. Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think someone said he was, like, one of the worst writers who's ever won an Academy Award for writing.
Oh, God.
I thought that was, like, wow.
That's crazy.
He did co-write... He did work on I Am Legend as a writer, so, you know, props for that one. That one's good.
Yeah.
I'll just assume his co-writer did all the good stuff.
Oh, man. In other news, Santina Marella is doing a Twitch show for Impact. And a wrestler very familiar with swinging wooden objects appeared on the MLB Network as a guest analyst. And it was none other than Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy!
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer. Awesome Kong is actually going in for back surgery so she can hopefully be able to walk better. She's made only a few appearances in the past few years in wrestling, and she's done mostly acting stuff, especially with GLOW, which season 2 will be June 29th. So hopefully she'll be able to have that surgery and it goes smoothly so she can walk and keep doing some nice acting shit and yada yada yada. PWG Bask in His Glory event takes place May 25th, and this will be Keith Lee's farewell event at the American Legion. Yeah, so he is up and out of there. So they named the whole event after him, so that's kind of nice.
The only downside of this is the second time that PWG put the title on a guy they knew was going to leave.
Going to leave?
and then took it off of him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they only do that for black wrestlers.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Leo Rush, he's been doing this countdown for like a week, but the countdown was over on Wednesday, and it was announced that he will be pursuing a music career. Aside from his wrestling stuff, he is apparently dropping a music video soon with him and a guy by the name of Andretti. Their first single called Money Money. So Andretti is known as the rapper who created his Man of the Hour theme while he was in the independent circuit. So should be interesting to see how that goes. I remember other wrestlers trying to be rappers, like Enzo. Then he caught a rape charge.
He's retired from wrestling now, apparently.
And he's retired because he threw a picture of like some boots hanging up somewhere, and it was real cryptic that I didn't really give a shit about. But then who else tried to be a rapper? Rocky Romero did a little bit of, and then I think he produced some music too besides the rapping. MVP tried to rap a little bit too, and his bars were like very basic. Yeah, forgot who else was rapping, but yeah, good luck to Leo Rush. I guess I'll have to listen to their first single before I cast judgment, so it's whatever. And apparently Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez are doing a live talk show in the morning of July 7th at the Cow Palace, which happens to be the day and venue of the New Japan show out there.
I will not at, and I won't be able to watch on Access either, so I'll have to stream it on the road next day.
Yeah, and apparently people are saying that it's going to cost $70 to hear them fucking talk. 70.
Yeah, no thank you.
No thank you.
I'll just get the cliff notes when it hits online. Like, I get all the cliff notes.
Like, why would you... Like Mick Foley, like, tours the country, and he probably only charges, like, $30, like, to go to live shows or something like that.
They probably should get Mick Foley as an opening act so people would care.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't.
That's not... Yeah, I don't know. What other bit of news was there? Oh, yeah, this, Black Cat shit. Some really weird Black Cat shit. Okay, so there's this ongoing beef between Black Cat events and wrestlers that were supposed to appear at an event for them during WrestleMania weekend. Chelsea Green and James Ellsworth got into it with the Black Cat's events Twitter, including Chelsea's boyfriend, Zack Ryder. Apparently, they were supposed to host the party event during WrestleMania weekend that was, I think it was a whole bunch of, like, Impact Knockouts that were supposed to appear on. But, out of nowhere, it got canceled at the last minute, and no talent ended up getting paid. So, that was a bummer. The event company tweeted out that the truth will come out, or something along those lines, which prompted the response from Green, James Ellsworth, Zack Ryder, that, yeah, they're pieces of shit, and they basically scammed everybody, and blah, blah, blah. Black Cat threatened to sue WWE for what they considered libel on Zack Ryder's part, because Zack Ryder called them frauds and thieves and scammers and whatever, they're like, oh, you call us names that we are not, so we're gonna try to sue people. And since Zack Ryder is that name is trademarked by WWE, that means we get to sue WWE.
Yeah, their asses are gonna lose that lawsuit so badly.
So, but
I mean, especially if the judge is like, "But you didn't pay the people."
Right.
I mean, what the fuck is anything gonna happen?
Yeah, but it gets worse. Okay, so I went to their Twitter, the person's like the Black Cat event Twitter. I checked some of the photos, and apparently, like, yes, yeah, so, like, they did advertise for an event WrestleMania weekend. It didn't happen. But they've also done events, apparently, that were mostly a lot of has-beens and porn stars, I guess. Like, I guess some signing events or whatever. A lot of that type of shit. And then they have over 12,000 Twitter followers, but, like, I looked down the list, and all of them seem like bot accounts or troll accounts. Like, they don't seem legitimate people, you know?
Yeah.
That actually follow them, right? So they most likely bought followers also, besides being a two-bit operation. And one other thing that was alarming was that, like, the first tweet I saw from that, like, Twitter account was calling Chelsea Green a used tampon, and another calling her a bitch, and then another one calling her Canadian bacon, Canadian cunt. Yes.
So they can get sued for
very fucking professional. Very fucking professional. I don't know who would want to fucking hire these people. And the thing is that, and one other thing that was alarming about the followers that this account had was that I think out of all the followers, only like 4 accounts that I follow that one. And they're all accounts that would basically follow anyone that has a significant amount of followers. So, but the day definitely ended up badly for the person, because, like, mere, like, hours after I checked at that person's Black Events Twitter page, it was riddled with porn. It was just porn tweet after porn tweet after porn tweet after some of that shit was fucking sick. But it was littered. So somebody fucking, I don't know if someone hacked that page or they did that deliberately to make their shit unwatchable, but, like, yeah, like, they're fucking ruined. It's crazy, dude. That shit was wild. Oh, man. Good times. And then, speaking of sort of wild shit, You know who Ember Moon's boyfriend? I don't know if it's a boyfriend or a husband or whatever. Matthew Palmer. Palmer is lost on Twitter. He had an interesting T-shirt on that people found that he has now. So, like, apparently it's a cartoon version of himself that resembles Conan the Barbarian carrying a big booty woman. And on the text on the bottom of that illustration, it says, King of Black Women. Yes. King of the Black Women.
I'm guessing she told him it was a great shirt, so I don't know.
But yeah, people definitely questioned it. Like, people didn't... I don't think there was, like, outright outrage... in a sense, but people were, like, confused.
Yeah.
But, like, apparently he replied to the tweet that, like, questioned it. It said something along the lines of that he's a heel or whatever, so I guess that's his gimmick. But I don't know.
Do black women love him? Is he feuding with black wrestlers?
I don't know.
Over their women?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the route he wants to take. I don't know, but it's interesting, I guess.
That reminded me of something that Jordan Grace posted, and it, I mean, it's not, like, offensive, but apparently she posted a conversation she had with a friend, or her friend sent her, like, a two-picture thing, right? The top picture was from the movie White Girls with Terry Crews. Was like, you know what they say, once you go black, you're gonna need a wheelchair. And then the second picture is her sitting in a wheelchair.
Oh, shit. Hold on, who's sitting in a wheelchair?
Well, Jordan Grace.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So she sent them back, no, like, I'm literally done with you. Because, I mean, I know she was involved with John and Gershon for a while. I don't know if they still are.
Oh, no, they're still together, I think.
All right, so, yeah, clearly someone saw that and, like, send that to her. Because I remember she was in a wheelchair for a while.
Yeah, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But, which is funny, because actually, Jordan Grace actually replied to that, to that post that somebody posted the T-shirt.
Oh, well, that was an excellent, at least unplanned segue.
Yeah, because I think she had added Palmer in and basically asked to kind of like say what's going on, and then had like some like crying face emojis. But yeah, I believe Jordan Grace and Jonathan Gresham are still together though. Yeah, they're still as of at least a few weeks ago, I'm sure. I think. Yeah, definitely check that out. Yeah. Anyway.
Jordan Grace, part of the Team Pog.
Team Pog. Yeah, that's right. But her booty is not the biggest on Beyond Wrestling nowadays, because what's her name is there now. Stokely Hathaway's girl. Shit, I forgot what her name is.
Did he survive his match with the King, Nick Gage, I guess?
Yeah.
Did you see his fake RIP, you know, the things they send out when you die, those, I forget what they're called.
Obituary?
The kind of the obituary you get when you go to the, you know, to the funeral. I'm trying to figure out. I know there's a name for it.
Eulogy?
I guess it was a eulogy. But you know what I'm fucking talking about.
So,
I mean, he posted one as, like, in case of my death. And it had, like, instructions.
Oh, last will and testament.
Well, no, it wasn't, like, giving anything. It's like, this is what's going to happen at my funeral. And there was, like, oh, okay, here it is.
You know that could be still part of the last will and testament.
The full program. Huh?
Oh, like,
it was a program of how the funeral was going to go. It was right here. Okay, it was a celebration of life. Stokely Cardigan Lamborghini Hathaway. January 23, 1988 to April 29, 2018. BET Networks, and then gives their address.
Oh, God.
And it says right here, full program. The best of Stokely highlight reel. 90 minutes. And I think this is what you're talking about. Eulogy Part 1, Faye Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Faye Jackson.
Eulogy Part 2, Maxwell J. Friedman, MJF. Eulogy Part 3, Prince Hologram. Eulogy Part 4, K. Keith Sweat, Eulogy Part 5, Keith Lee.
Okay.
Open freestyle rap session. Must mention Mr. Hathaway every four bars.
Nice.
What could have been discussion, Dave Meltzer. He was the next champion by Gabe Sabowski. Hathaway roasting session. Pre-recorded burial of everyone Mr. Hathaway hated. After party, BYOB. After party, Paul, Martin Lawrence, Glenn Jacobs, Denzel Washington, Ethan Page, Dan Barry, everyone who appeared in WCW for No Limit Records, Jay-Z, Tom Lawler, Christian Casanova, Mekhi Pfeiffer, and Dylan from the band.
Dylan.
Oh, sorry. That's right. Dylan.
Dylan, 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 Dylan.
Dylan.
He spits hot fire. Some reason...
I'm going to reblog it so you can see it.
Reason Marty the Moth is following me on Instagram for some reason.
What did you do?
I don't know. I've been followed by random wrestlers. I'm followed by this like one guy called like the Big Orlando that's worked with Jack Swagger before. Yes, and what appears to be what's his name? Shannon Moore, I guess. I don't know. Fucking
Shannon Moore.
Yeah, but I get followed by random ones, and then I think they unfollow me after a while.
Yeah, I don't have anybody interesting following me, I don't think. I mean, I don't really look. Who the hell is this guy with the check mark? Corey Machado. Sure, okay, I don't know who you are, but apparently you're verified, so I guess that means you're important, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So.
Yeah, it's the only verified account that follows me. Yeah, I have nobody interesting following me. Except for you, dude. You're alright.
Yeah, that's right.
Nordic Support follows me. That's right.
Who?
Big verified one. AAW. Huh?
AAW?
AAW Wrestling, even though. And Shimmer. But Shimmer isn't verified. That's weird.
Huh.
Alright, yeah, so no one interesting follows me. So I get to tweet in peace and I don't have to worry about getting dragged or saying something.
Nice.
Dream. I don't want to get dragged on Twitter. Those people go to Facebook to hide.
I'm followed by Tier 1 Wrestling. Of all things.
Do I know Tier 1? Huh.
Is it in New York or is it in Canada? Yeah, New York.
New York. I don't like you.
New York, New York. New York, New York. But yeah, I think that's about it. That's weird.
Alright, should I go back to the weird list I was looking at?
No. No. No.
No.
No. No. Anyway, my last bit was talking about that whole Ryan Satin tweet about...
Oh my god, that fucking pissed me off that morning.
Yes.
It's only from watching wrestling, that's how much I was pissed off.
Yes. So yeah, Ryan Satin tweeted about the Greatest Royal Rumble, basically calling a lot of folks, a lot of New Japan... fans, hypocrites, basically, saying that, oh, you guys are boycotting the Greatest Royal Rumble or have something critical to say about that, while New Japan doesn't have any wrestling, women's wrestling at all. So, like, he doesn't get the dynamics in Japan in itself.
Yeah, I mean, the way that wrestling has evolved both here in the States and other countries is obviously different. But my understanding is, with us in the United States, there came a point, because obviously we were very American wrestling was very much connected to vaudeville and sideshows to some degree.
Yeah,
it became just a matter of special attractions. Women were actually more equated also with midgets and people wrestling bears. They were special attraction matches. So they would have, like, one match with women, one match with midgets. And they explained this in one of the documentaries, that was just kind of customary, that a lot of shows did it. The only real separation between
men's wrestling and women's wrestling. In the States is when men's wrestlers just didn't like women's wrestlers. I think, I don't know if it was Harley Race or some other guy, but one of like the famous 60s, 70s wrestlers didn't like women's wrestling, so they stopped putting it on whatever shows he was on.
Huh.
Which is fucking idiotic.
Wow.
But it was, but women's wrestling was always, was essentially since like I would say 1930s, 1940s, was always a part of these shows. They were, you know, they were special attractions. Women's wrestling in Japan was also a sideshow special attraction, but it was its own thing. They weren't a part of men's shows. And Japanese wrestling also developed a lot weirder because ours was very territorial. But Japanese wrestling sort of bursted out from the first real Japanese promotion, which was, you know, pretty much won by Ricky Dozen and had Giant Baba and Antonio Inoki in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And All Japan Women, actually, the seeds for that company actually really started before New Japan and All Japan Women, All Japan Pro Wrestling. People don't tend to realize how long women's wrestling in Japan existed. I mean, it was just, it was a weird sideshow kind of carnival thing, but they actually originally were, for the longest time, the longest running promotion, because they started in 1988, 4 years before New Japan Pro Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling.
I mean, on a side note,
by dudes too, which is weird, but still.
I hate to stop you, but funny thing is that I'm watching NXT and it's Kairi Sane versus Shaza McKenzie.
Oh yeah, I heard she would be on one of those shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations to Shaza McKenzie. I think she also got like engaged a few months ago too. So she's living her best life right now.
To a wrestler or average Joe?
I want to say to a wrestler.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's the Australian scene, Shaza McKenzie. Or she got married or something, but I remember she was something. She got, all right, here we go. She's 29 from Sydney. I thought she was a little younger, but still. I mean, well, you know, being a foreign wrestler, it's probably harder to get attention anyway, especially here in the States. Here we go, personal life. No, it doesn't say who she's engaged to. Yeah, she got engaged or married. So congrats to her. All right, yeah, okay. So All Japan Women actually really started in 1955. They didn't change the name to just plain All Japan Women until 1968. And it was and it became inspired by Mildred Burke when she actually toured. And this is very important because the title that Mildred Burke is recognized for, which is the Women's Wrestling Association title, because it went defunct after her. They resurrected that title, and that title basically became AJW's main belt for the longest time. So the woman who inspired all these guys to start All Japan Women's Wrestling eventually adopted that title as the main belt in the 80s.
Huh, okay.
So, yeah, it's a completely different creation. These guys, which helped influence other women's promotions, and a lot of the women's promotions that started were, some of these were mad that All Japan Women pretty much fired them after they hit a certain age, because this is one of the problems with a man running a promotion. They wanted the women to start early. So you had, like, Bull Nakano would start at 50, right?
Right.
But they would retire these women originally in the, I don't know how long this was, in their late 20s. You were actually fired at like 27 or something.
Wow.
So some of these women, they didn't want to quit wrestling. So that's where why you had like a JWP or, you know, some of these the women who were kind of frustrated with them started their own promotions, or, you know, even like Aja Kong started her own promotion for a while too. You had the All Japan Women who came up through that system pretty much start their own women's promotions as a response to how they felt disrespected by the original companies and other ones as well. So women's wrestling in Japan, even though it was essentially kicked off by men, it was men inspired by a woman, the success of an American woman, and their company inspired women to start their own promotions. Most of the women's promotions are run by women. And if there are men involved, they're like Jinsei Shinzaki, yeah, they're involved. But like Mako Satomura pretty much runs the majority of what Sendai Girls is. Yeah. Jinsei might just be the guy doing all the fucking paperwork as far as I know, right? Because right. Mako's wrestling, she's training, she's touring, she's got an active social engagement on Twitter and all that stuff. So that's what pissed me off about it. It's like, you're comparing this major company that's put money in a division that's theirs against all companies. A lot of them are, the women are pretty much doing their own thing. It's their companies. They're in charge. They're the stars. And right now, like, that Sendai Girl show had like 1,200 people out of that watch. That's more than the recent ROH show. That's like double the attendance of the recent ROH show. I mean, that's good fucking numbers. Stardom's doing 1,100 people. And you don't want this on fucking New Japan? I mean, what's a New Japan pay-per-view? 5 hours, man, right? Do you really want a women's tag match to just randomly be placed on the bottom of the card? It's fucking stupid.
Wow.
Just watch some women's wrestling, Ryan Sadat. Alright, I'm sorry. I went off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but yeah, fucking Ryan Satin's a fucking jackass. I don't know. Like, he... It's like, sometimes he comes off like he's an ally of certain things. But then he...
And that he, like, he's smarter than Meltzer at times.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
Even though Meltzer had to fucking school him on Joshi Wrestling. You saw that?
Yeah, he did. But then he also said some stupid-ass comment, too. Because, like, apparently Dave Meltzer was asked if WWE should do a women's pay-per-view or special, since people are complaining, and he basically replied with, "Replace Herm women with blacks, and you'll realize how ugly an idea that actually is."
Yeah, I'm not sure what the fuck he meant
it's
with
fucking,
that.
Fucking, like, for one, like, it's false equivalency.
Yeah, I mean, I the only thing I could assume is that what he's thinking is that if you're going to promote a division, you should also, if you're going to promote a division based on a group of marginalized people, then you should be able to promote everyone equally. And he's
like,
just really
within,
fucking bad
within
at
within the system.
Yes.
Yeah.
If he, like, I can understand that point because black wrestlers as well as Mexican wrestlers, and we're seeing some Asian wrestlers succeed. They're not treated as well as obviously their white counterpart or Samoans
right.
related to the big Samoan family. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I can understand it from that point of view, but that way he said that was really stupid.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
It was really stupid. But yeah, Meltzer's a weird guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always did respect that he was probably one of the first dirt sheet writers. From
talking about Joshi shit.
Yeah, because he said that when he went started watching it, it was in this sort of pop diva. No, I don't want to say pop diva. This very pop music kind of stylistic thing where the good girls were always very colorful and cute, and the bad girls were always sort of more dangerous looking. And
yeah.
They had a lot of teenage girl fans. So there was a point when All Japan, because All Japan Women was, even though it was around for a long time, it wasn't really like super hot and competitive until the 80s. And it was because it created this pop girl sensation with schoolgirls that it became super successful.
Right.
So it wasn't cool for men to watch Joshi at the time. Unless they were, like, looked at as weird. So when he saw it, it was not, like, a huge male crowd. But All Japan Women got more popular than men would go on a few years later. But it's an interesting, you know, way that would develop.
Yeah.
It's a goomy. I've never heard of that.
Okay, what other news? Apparently Hulk Hogan is being inducted into the Boys and Girls Club Hall of Fame, Alumni Hall of Fame. I believe Harlem Heat's being inducted in to the Cauliflower Alley Club Hall of Fame. So
who is?
Harlem Heat.
Oh, good. I like Harlem Heat.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Paige's movie, it was supposed to be coming out this September. Apparently that's not happening. It got pushed back all the way to March. March 1st of next year. So
it's not surprising because of the way that the movie theater studios and theaters are right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on
now it's so hard to compete. To me, at this point, I think the best success you have with a movie that, you know, you're not sure how it's going to perform, especially in a tight market, is just to put it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix will make the money for you. I mean, it's... especially right now when there's like one or two movies coming out every month that's making like $500 million. Mm-hmm. Like, who can compete with that?
Yeah. See, I think a lot of times they're moving... Yeah, they're basically trying to move some of these movies to less competitive, or either less competitive or dead time periods in movie watching times, in order to at least have a chance or create a buzz for themselves. So, because it's interesting, because like some of these movies would come out in dead zones and do very well. Like, what, Deadpool did that. Get Out did it too.
Smart about how they did it too. So
yeah,
it's all about strategy with advertising.
Yeah.
So, but it's weird. September used to be a dead zone, but I'm guessing it's sort of become a post summer / pre Christmas thing. So it's becoming kind of a, well, we got to get our Oscar movie out for all the other Oscar movies / well, we get out that movie that feels like it should be in summertime, but summer's too packed.
Right.
Because I'm looking at September right now. I mean, I want to see The Predator, so...
Oh, hell yeah. I think that movie was actually named in all of that. Yeah. Like, if for part of the reason why it had to be moved.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see a lot of these other movies that probably don't look that important, but then again, maybe I don't know much. I mean, I guess there's a couple animated films might do pretty well, because animated films usually do well. I'm not sure, and there's another kids film, The House with the Clock and its Walls, might do okay. But, oh, The Nun, that's a horror movie, that'll probably do all right.
When's that movie Hereditary coming out? Is that in the summer?
I'll look it up.
I want to see that shit. That shit look crazy.
I heard they already scarred some people who were trying
to
watch.
In Australia?
Yeah.
They were trying to watch a fucking Peter Rabbit or something like that.
And Peter Rabbit was actually a hit, too. Where the hell are you, Hereditary? I haven't seen the Transylvania movies. Oh, God, no. Uncle Drew.
Oh, I want to see that shit. That shit looked funny. Oh, Uncle Drew? Yeah, that shit looks funny to me. I don't care.
Well, you know, you do you, man. I'm gonna see what the fuck is Hereditary. Did that shit come out like limited release and just no one bothered to put it up?
No,
because I'm on the 2018 movie list. I have to look it up individually, I guess.
I'll find it. Let me see. June, actually, next month.
June 8th. So yeah, about a month. Month ago until that movie comes out.
It's going to have probably some steep competition, too. But it's a horror movie, so it should make its money back pretty easily. Gotta enjoy that movie.
There's fucking Alex Wolff in it.
Oh, he is.
Fucking
Alex Wolff. I don't know. I don't think I know Alex Wolff.
Alex Wolff is, I think he was part of that, see, you're a little older, so you don't know any of that stuff. They used to be part of this group, well, brothers, the Naked Brothers Band or some shit like that. And it was a musical thing with him and his brother. But it was a TV show.
My brother probably would have known that one, though. But Hereditary is going to have a hard time. Well, I mean, it's coming out against Hotel Artemis and Ocean's 8. So you have the horror.
Because you got the horror folks, you got the action folks, and you got the women folks.
Yeah. And then the week before that, the week before that doesn't look like there's that much. But the week after that is incredible, too, and those are two movies I want to see.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck, and Jurassic World on the 22nd? Jeez.
See, now I feel like I have to get MoviePass.
I don't have a MoviePass. I have my my local theater's whatever, their premiere card thing, so I just go to the quick line.
Yeah, I got to get MoviePass, because, like, that's, like, what, $10 a month or something like that for
shit, and that would save me a shit ton.
Yeah, because they're... I mean, these movies come out so close to each other now, it's just... Yeah, all right. Do you have that other Dave Bautista news?
Oh, no, I don't.
About his movie he was working on. I mean, because he was at... He had a movie coming out with, what was that dude's name? The new comedic acting film. I think they added the woman from Glow to it.
Damn, I don't know.
Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, okay, here we go. Glow's Betty Gilpin joins Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani and Fox's Stuber.
Oh, okay, that's the picture with him. Because, like, yeah, he just took a picture and posted it on Instagram with Kumail.
Yeah. Kumail. So, I don't know what Stuber's about, but, you know, I like that cast.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. So, good luck. Congratulations. We got Glow working with... Oh, not really, but whatever. All right, what you got?
Yeah, the last bit of news is actually some good news. Martin Stone, a.k.a. Danny Burch, is officially a member of the NXT roster again. I believe 4 years ago, he was a full-fledged member of the roster, but he had, after, like, a few appearances on NXT, they decided to fire him. But they fired him, but then brought him back as a part guy. Like, we'll use you when we need you, but you could also do your indie appearances and do all that shit. So, like, honestly,
that's how they should treat everybody in NXT, as far as I'm fucking concerned.
Yeah, so they...
Unless they're using you full-time, go send their ass to... Let them do some other shit.
Yeah, so they did that for a while for him, but then I guess they realized, like, yeah, we're just gonna hire you out right now. So, like, they're hiring...
They saw him at a match at Bloodsport and, like, you deserve better, and then hired him?
Probably. So, like, they hired him, and he had a speech at Beyond Wrestling. His last match at Beyond Wrestling ended up being against Josh Briggs, who used to... be involved with WWE for a little tiny bit. Yeah, he ended up losing to Josh Briggs, and he ended up giving a speech talking about this is it for him. And yeah, after that, ended up saying that, yeah, like, him and Oney Lorcan are going to tear it up on NXT, which would be nice for them as a tag team. And speaking of Oney Lorcan's
been there long enough that he...
Speaking of tag teams, apparently TM61 is apparently a heel tag team now. Yeah.
All right, I was looking for something because you were mentioning Josh Briggs, because Stokely Hathaway and his Josh Briggs' wife are Twitter beefing, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. For the people listening, Stokely Hathaway, good morning to everyone except Josh Briggs' fiance. Loudly screamed, "Fuck you, Stokely," and flipped me off as I was leaving the building last weekend.
Yeah.
I'd do it again in a heartbeat, she replied. And I like that her name's Taco Bell Queen 91. I think that's just funny. You know what she likes. She likes Taco Bell enough to think she's queen of Taco Bell.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shit. They should sponsor her.
Yes. Get some Blue Paps Ribbon used to sponsor Eric Cannon, or still does.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember he was sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon, and TJ Perkins was sponsored by that streetwear, the Hundreds. And then I think, yeah, those are the only two that were in the independent circuit that were sponsoring for a while. Yeah. Until everybody started getting sponsored by wrestling gear companies, like Suplex or Strong Style Brand or whatever. Yeah, good times. Good times.
People really dragged the dude for that movie theater snack comment.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's...
Into a fucking movie theater?
Like, I can understand, like, if you're going to, like, a local theater... Yeah, you may want to fucking buy snacks. But if you're going to a place like fucking AMC, a major fucking big-ass chain that upcharges you 400%, fuck no. You can eat a dick.
Yeah, the only deep thing about AMC, that the card thing, is, I mean, I get the medium upgrade on the drink or whatever.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, I don't want to buy this candy. Bring my own.
Yeah,
I mean, that. When I was in Avengers, I popped open my Enjoy Beef Jerky. Had to cut that shit in the dark with my key because I can never cut it open right. Ate that shit. I don't fucking. I only ever buy food at the movies when A, I am absolutely thirsty and need a soda, or B, like I'm coming from work and I need fucking lunch. I will eat a fucking hot dog in a movie theater, but that's as far as I go. If I can just bring my own food, I'll bring my own fucking food. I'm not trying to be in there that long. I'm going to go get food right afterward. I just need something to hold me over. Yeah. I ain't spending $3.50 on some damn junior mints.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah, fuck that. There's this one place I always wanted to go to. They call it the Cinebistro. That has, like, it's a high-end movie theater that, like, sells high-end food. Like, they got fucking truffle fries, like, all types of, like, specialized, like things on the menu and shit. It's fucking insane. Like they claim they have, like, a Wagyu beef, like, dish or whatever. It's, like, for $12, but for some reason I feel like it's not actually Wagyu beef. It's whatever.
I mean, I like the idea, but I want it to be like a movie, like food I would actually like an actual restaurant sponsorship. Like, if AMC had a sponsor deal with, like, I don't know, a fucking PF Chang's or some shit, I'd be going to that movie all the time. Come see the experience with the PF Chang's. I'd get
see,
there.
See, I don't know about PF Chang's, food. Dude, because, like, if I eat their food while watching a movie, I might decide to, like, bunk out and fall asleep.
Alright. Well, man, I guess it depends on what place. You should get what I'm saying, right? I want to be able to call them, find out the movie times, order the tickets, and then put my meal so that it'll be ready when I get there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wanted to come out right during the theater, like right between the trailers and the movie. Like there's a 10-minute bit between both of them. Like, oh, there's the trailers. That means the food's coming out to get ready for the movie. I want the recliner seat experience. I mean, if you're going to have me pay that much money, I want the full experience. Real restaurant, good seats. I want a fucking butler.
Oh, man. They got this guy on NXT that has some ring gear that looks like a fucking American Horror Story hotel design. Pretty interesting. But now he's about to get beat up by Kona Reeves, the finest. I don't know what his character is. It's kind of, I don't know. It's fucking weird. But anyway, yeah, that's all I got for news and other shit. So do you have anything else?
Nope, there is absolutely nothing happening. The only thing going on is I am doing 31 days of films again.
Nice.
I already fucked up my list of movies. I didn't mean to watch Game Over. I was halfway through. I'm like, well, shit.
Game Over, man.
I guess
man.
This is my movie for today now.
Game Over, man. Yeah, that was a funny movie, man. I liked
it. It was fun. I feel like a couple rewrites could have punched it up a little bit better, but structure-wise, I thought it was
fun. Oh, his fucking dick. Yeah.
I mean, I went on and looked up the girl who killed Joel Nicole, because, like, obviously they're turning the camera to her. She has to be someone. She's a famous voice actress. She did the voice of little Chibi Moon from the Sailor Moon anime. I'm like,
Oh, wow.
Sailor Chibi Moon killed Joel Nicole.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah, I did like a lot of the cameos, but I really wanted fucking Shaggy to die. I fucking hate that song. I
love that song. Oh, my God. Just like Michael Jackson in that one, like, I love that song.
I mean, how do you say it wasn't me when they caught you red-handed?
It wasn't me. Yep. Don't you know the law? Deny.
I remember when that song came out. I could not avoid it anywhere. It was everywhere. It was yeah, trying
song,
to kill me.
Awesome.
I was on a fucking. I was at a fucking affair at the a church, and I was on the boat thing that keeps going back and back and forth.
That was,
and then the song came on, and this girl with her friends started singing in the front row. I almost jumped to my death.
That was during like the Shaggy Renaissance, because I think he had some stuff before, but then
because I remember when Mr. Boombastic came out.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Beavis and Butthead did that episode.
Yeah, because he
just kept singing along to it, Mr. Boombastic.
Because he came up with that, and then he had that Angel song. But the funny thing is that both songs that he came back with, basically the meat of the song was not him. Because it was the guys singing the hooks, basically.
Yeah, that's right. That was another thing, too. That fucking song. They killed Faison. Donald Faison, what the hell? That's a crime against black people.
Donald Faison?
Yeah. He was in Clueless.
Oh, yeah. And Scrubs.
I mean, for a while, he was the only black guy on television.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so that accidentally became, and I was just looking for a new TV show to watch, and I couldn't find it. I watched this, and then I was like, well, I guess that screwed up my plan for today. So far, I'm not following my layout, but yeah. So I'm two movies in, 29 more to go. I will say I like this one better than what I watched yesterday, and what I watched yesterday is considered an American classic. So.
One movie I want to try to watch because that I haven't is actually I want to say two, actually three, Wheelman, Oja or Okja, whatever, you know, that one that's on Netflix that has Tilda Swinton and
another movie I still haven't watched.
Yeah, and one movie that apparently that was really good but people slept on last year. Hitman's Bodyguard.
I saw Hitman's Bodyguard. That's weird because that movie actually, I think last year, that was the only movie that did 3 weekends at number one. It's just that there was no other movies out, and it debuted okay, and no movies came out, so it just kept doing good each week.
Yeah, it did good, but it's still, no one was talking about it, though. Nobody.
I thought it was fun as fuck. I've been thinking about downloading that movie and stealing it. Cause I had a good time watching it.
Cause I right now I have H for Hulu.
Yeah.
Well, Hulu for HBO. Well, vice versa. I don't know. Whatever. So like I'm paying like $5 for $5 a month for HBO right now, and they just posted up Hitman's Bodyguard apparently. So I'm definitely gonna check that out when I get the chance.
Conan Reeves is a white dude, or is he just a light skinned dude?
No, Conan Reeves is Samoan, I believe.
All right, because this gif of him makes him look really
white.
Yeah, for some reason I don't know why I thought. Well, I guess Conan would be more Pacific Islander. Okay, but yeah, he looks very light. All right. This is curious. Okay, now I see his face. Yeah, all right. There's the Pacific Islander. He looks like he's from some. Looks like he'd be in like an 80s Hong Kong, like an 80s American kung fu film. Does that make sense?
And would get killed in it?
Yeah, probably as a bag, but still. Alright, yeah, that's it.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, I just saw this one tweet, apparently. Marvel saw the post about how Ant-Man could defeat them crawling into his ass and instantly growing in size, and that's why they didn't put him in the movie. Send tweet. oh shit! Oh man! But I am looking forward to Ant-Man and Wasp.
I don't know. I've been seeing these MCU ranking lists, and I get like, from the bottom, and then I see Ant-Man in like the bottom five. I'm like, nope, sorry, turning this off.
Yeah, the bottom should definitely be like fucking like Thor: Dark World.
Yeah, Thor. Iron Man 2, I still don't like Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Iron Man 2 either.
I mean, most of the movies are good, but for some reason, but I mean, I wouldn't be that mad at it if it was on farther down, because there's some great ones, but they'd be like, this one isn't even really worth your time. I'm like, fuck you. Fucking dare you.
The disrespect.
I love that movie. It's my brother's favorite franchise of them so far, too. Like, that was the one that he wanted to see when they were making it. He wanted to see it when it came out. He wants to see the sequel. He's, like, casual with the MCU movies, but he was like, yeah, I'm seeing Ant-Man. Yeah, how fucking dare you? I like the Ant-Man movie quite a bit. It's one of the funner movies. Just put it on whenever. We are really off the trail. Is there anything else we need to do?
I don't know, but I'm just looking at NXT, and it just seems like, I guess they're trying to push more of the newer talents to the forefront. So, Kona Reeves, you got Dakota Kai, you got the Vanessa Horn, of course, Lacey Evans, her too. Yeah, just everybody's just trying to get pushed to the forefront, and we'll see how that shit goes.
I saw the, on Paige's Instagram story, she was filming at the airport. She was Mandy and Sonya were walking over, and she's like, they don't know I replaced them, and she moved the camera over to the Iconics.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. But yeah, it's good NXT promoting more people. They should.
Yeah. Oh, but they're about to have Candice LeRae versus Bianca Belair, so I am started doing plugs and shit. Of course, you can check us out at rantamradio.com, including the flagship, The Rant, Freaks and Different Geeks, Tumblr Throwbacks, yada, yada, yada. We will be airing Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, EDT, well, not EST, but EDT, whatever. You can also check the archives tab for past episodes of The Rant and all the other shit. Anything?
Apparently I'm looking at a video of Jimmy Havoc threatening to kill James Ellsworth with an actual axe. He missed, by the way, when he swung it.
Nice, of course. Of course, yeah. He did. But yeah.
James Ellsworth is a braver man than most wrestlers.
Yeah.
Alright, but no plugs. He's not this
hardcore.
Time.
He's hardcore. But anyway, yeah, for me, doomsday519.tumblr.com. At Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 51 on YouTube as my primary channel, my secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla. Of course, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And yes, with that, I'm gonna end it on a high note. So, hey, smoke weed every day.